Father, we are extremely appreciative to be living in this country. There are people who almost give their own lives to try to get to this country, to flee the issues that are going on where they currently live. And so, Lord, help us never to take for granted what we have. Thank you for all the blessings of living in this country. We pray for those in authority over us. We pray for those at the federal level. We pray for those at the provincial level, for those at the Simcoe County level, for those at the town level. Lord, for all those who are seeking to do what is best for all of us. But Lord, we pray that you will watch over and keep us, that you will protect us, that no evil will come, and that we'll have the freedom and joy to worship you openly without fear of persecution. And so, Lord, thank you again, because we do not deserve any of the blessings we have, and yet you are an amazing God. And so as we have this service today, in remembrance of those who've given their lives for us to be able to be here today, Lord, may this service be indeed a great service of gratitude. And we thank you now in your powerful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. You may be seated. Want to go over some announcements quickly before we have the praise team come up. First of all, I think we have the activities for this week. Phil, do we have the prayer time, of course, at 2 o'clock on Monday, and you're always invited to that. We have Wednesday, the ladies here at 10 o'clock in the morning. Thursday, we have our Bible study and discussion night at 7 o'clock, and then we meet for prayer at 7 o'clock on Saturday night as well. So those are the activities. Now, tonight, and I believe we have a little screen for it, we are having a unity area-wide unity service for all the churches in the area, and we plan this at the ministerial level for twice a year, and we're finally able to have another unity service together. So it will be in Collingwood at New Life Church, which is at the south end of Collingwood. If for those of you that bowl, you know it's right across the road from the bowling alley, all right? And so you can pre-register, or you can register when you get there, and I'm sure we're going to have a great time together. We also have an update with regard to the shoeboxes. We have just one more week. Carl, do you want to say anything about it? If you haven't got your boxes, there are some there. You can take those, fill them with toys and things for children, and then they will be shipped out all over the world starting in less than a month.
You did it all.
I did it all. Oh, he did it all. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So thanks for everyone's work on that. Today.
This one.
Sure. I think we'd better take it because I've just been frozen to the ground here. So.
This one is for you from Jesus. Jesus loves you, my friend. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much.
I received these gloves that I really love. It's my favorite color. Yes. And I received this awesome mask that I'm going to scare my little sister and brother in the night with. Yes. And these pens. And I'm going to use them in every book I have for school. And these awesome socks. And yeah, I just love it. Jesus loves me, yes! It's like, it brings this feeling to my heart that there's somebody out there that wants to share God's word, and even though we feel lost, that God is not there, that yes, God exists, and He hears our prayers. Thank you.
I don't want this box. I don't want to take it. Why didn't you give me a 3-speed bike? You know, what we have in this country, you know, we are so blessed. So please fill those boxes and let's get them in so we can get them shipped around the world to children with the, of course, with the all the material about who Jesus is. So it's incredibly exciting. On a little less exciting note, we have a lot of blue boxes and green recycling boxes here at the church. Now that we've gone to these drums, what else do you call them, huge things. So if you'd like some blue boxes or whatever, they're all around the side. Phil, is that correct? They can take as many as they want?
I think there's three green
boxes and a couple of blue bins. All right. Knock yourself out. Whatever you want to do. Gardening, you do it. Okay. Also, just want to say next Sunday we're going to be welcoming new members, so that's going to be an exciting day as well. Anything else we need to update for the church family this morning? Oh, yes, Deanne, could you come up, please?
I have a challenge for our church family, doing a reverse Advent calendar. And what that is you put a box in your kitchen, and every day you take one item out of your cupboard or from the store and put it in that box. And in 30 days, bring those here, or once a week you can bring them here. And after those 30 days, Doug and I will take that food to the food banks. I have a list, and there's pages at the back of what the Wasaga and the Elmville Food Bank are looking for. So if you guys can do that, Doug and I have already started ours, and I think I've gone a little crazy because ours is half full already, and I just started last week. So I'm challenging everybody. I know as a little kid I used to get a chocolate every day. We're going to give somebody a meal every day. So let's try to do this for our communities.
Thank you, Deanna. Thank you. I think that's a great idea. Thank you. Now, by the way, those of you that have leftover Halloween candy, I'm sure none of you do. But if you do, you might want to sacrifice those. Anyway, that's just a thought. Deanne, marvelous. We'll keep updated with you on that. All right, I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come and lead us in worship this morning on this beautiful day. All right, so notes praise. Who wants to go first? What has the Lord been? Oh, Sheila, where are you, girl? Oh, I think you need to tell everybody what you told Thursday night. Because you remember last Sunday we prayed for folks. We anointed people with oil according to James chapter 4. And if you had a need to stand up, well, Sheila had something different to tell us. So Sheila, give everybody an update what you said. Yes. Praise the Lord. And that even goes for a pain in the neck from her husband. I mean, everything is covered in that. Right, Roy? Bless your heart, brother. No, sometimes we don't realize how much we've been touched. And we realize, oh, that problem is gone. That, you know, and sometimes we need to just thank the Lord because pain is often such a constant. So Ted was telling me, I don't see Ted here today, but Ted was telling me on Tuesday morning, he said Sunday night after we had prayer at church in the morning, he said he slept the best he slept in over years. In years, he said. So God's doing amazing things. So let's take some other notes of praise this morning. What else has the Lord been doing? The young man over here on the side, I believe your name is Mark. Is that correct, sir? Yes. And just pull your mask down, Mark, before you say something.
Things and our active in the loop, as they say.
Mark, we need to also update something else. What every spring do we do for prayer for Mark and Leanne? Because they have the cottage court, and what's next door is the fellow who lets everybody and his brother come in. And every spring we pray what? That the Lord would keep things calm, and there wouldn't be fights, and there wouldn't be too many beer bottles or anything else. And this year...
Well, one thing, because of this pandemic, they weren't allowed to have next door, to have his usual grad parties and prom parties and maybe two fours and whatnot. So they haven't done that. And they came into a realization, I was speaking to them, that they really don't want to do that anymore, because they just realize how much money they saved and the hassle from having the police come and the firemen come all the time and the bylaw on their case all the time and all the damage that was done. So they're really just doing renting to families now, which is a blessing. So you would come and help me with put up these big 8 by 6 feet boards along the fence line to stop Billy's kids.
And if you've been to Mark and Leanne's other years, they had the Berlin Wall set up, and you know, just to protect your property and things and your folks.
So that's one,
you know, that's marvelous answered prayer for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for that update. Okay, some other notes of praise this morning. Norm?
When I took a real bad turn for the worst a few months back, I get needles in it. And you prayed last week, and May turned around on Monday when the 700 Club was on. May says, I want a confirmation door to let Gordon give it. Well, he did. Actually, it was Terry Mewson turned around and said, there's somebody out there that's scared skinny, and he's not going blind. And that was me.
Yeah, because you had such an issue with your eyes, and God confirmed that on Monday, and you took it by faith.
Mm-hmm. God. May come running out of the bedroom because she just had her breakfast in bed, and she said,
So, anybody else would like breakfast in bed? I'd like to just. Norm will be right over this week. Just pick a time, and he'll bring it to you. No, I think that's marvelous. You know, and God is working on so many different levels, family. And sometimes we think, well, why would he be concerned about me? It's so insignificant. But if he even knows how many hairs are on our head in our days of our life, what doesn't concern him? Man, marvelous. So,
just an aside, John. There's a meteor coming at us. There's half of my wife got hit. And on the 29th of April, 29th, and it's going to blow the earth.
Well, thanks, Norm. That's very uplifting.
The good thing is, that means that's the middle of the tribulation, and we ain't going to be here.
Okay, well, that's very kind. So everybody, please mark April 29th in your calendar. Now that we're on off daylight savings time, we can be open to new things. Okay, family? Norm, you're...
It's called Dolphus, which is the Egyptian god of darkness.
Okay, let's keep serving me breakfast in bed. You just stick to that one, and you and I'll talk more about it later. Okay. Other notes of praise, Joyce.
Okay, so for Dan and myself, we do the prayer gathering on Mondays, and I was compelled and moved by the Lord to offer to our family. They are in different areas. So one's in the west, and one is in Cambridge. So there's a time zone difference, but anyhow, the Lord moved on us to coordinate it. We just did our first one the other day. With the family praying at 9 o'clock at night, and needless to say that I did not realize how much the prayer was so needed for the family to stay connected. We all did
cool.
To get on, but they were totally interactive with us. We were up till 10:30, 11 o'clock praying with them.
Just praying.
Yeah, over the Facebook.
Yeah.
And we played our songs. We did the whole type of a theme that Dan and I normally do here. The part that really touched my heart was the fact that I didn't realize that their church is shut down in the west.
Okay.
And they're going to a home group. But anyhow, he was very moved. He was actually in tears. It broke us up to see the pain and everything they're going through with everything that's going on in the world.
Yeah.
So I said to him, we would do it again next week. He said, no, I would like to do it. We would
So they're going to do it next week for everybody. Neat. Neat. Cool.
The Lord of it is moved on us to try it for the month because they need prayer. Everybody needs prayer.
Yeah, and everybody does. People are so isolated.
And
that's really neat.
That's
creative. Bring your family together. So do you call it a gold chat? Anyway. All right, anything else for prayer? Notes of praise, prayer requests. Shauna, we want to pray for you because you're having the arm problems. Are you still in a lot of pain?
She said it's not bad, but thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, she's still there.
All right. And we're going to pray for you, Susan, with your disc issue, and continue to ask the Lord to bring healing to you. Okay? Anything else for prayer? Mark? Flip your mask down.
My foot.
Okay.
I've got a bunion.
Uh-huh.
And it's sore on my foot, so.
Yes.
So, relief, pain for bunion relief.
Absolutely. We'll pray. Yeah, absolutely. Jim?
Some of you remember Drew Lyle, Grace's sister that used to come here. He passed away a few years ago. But she was not doing very well. So she's really been improved, and she looks like she's really on the mend. She's clear to talk to her.
Super, super.
She's in the nursing home, and they were on lockdown for a time, and there were a number of problems. But anyway, things seem to be going well.
Marvelous, super. Thanks for that update. I wonder if you could join us in praying for my wife today. She's not well, and. So if you would just lift her up as we pray, we'd appreciate that. Anything else, Donna?
Yes, I have to go for an infusion. Not quite sure when.
Okay.
Soon, for my rheumatoid arthritis, and my hands have been giving me a lot of problems. So I just pray that the infusion works.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. We will join with you in there. Okay. Anything else? Donna?
For the Clark family, Bruce's cousin passed away this week, and the funeral is today. And also for his sister-in-law, Ada, we had prayed for her last year, or the beginning of the year. She had bladder cancer, and had her bladder removed. Now she's in hospital with a blockage in the bowel.
Oh. All right. Bruce, if it's okay, I think today as we pray, I want to just take and ask the Lord to cover the whole Clark family. Because you've dealt with so much stuff with deaths and serious issues. And let's just believe the Lord's going to just touch your entire family and you're standing in intercession for them. Okay? Okay, let's go to prayer. Father, this day is absolutely gorgeous, and we thank you again for another day of life. We don't take these days for granted. Things can happen in such a heartbeat, and situations that can blindside us, or things that can happen to our family. Not that we live in fear of those things, but rather in the midst of all the things that's part of the fallen nature of this world, our determination is to continue to look away to Jesus. And so, Father, we just want to take time and again thank you for all that your Son has done for us, from the saving of our souls to the interactive work every day, for the comfort of the Holy Spirit who counsels and gives us wisdom, for your oversight as our Father. And the reality is that we don't understand just how much you love us. And so today, Lord, we're just saying thank you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you that you go before us. Thank you that you're our rear guard. Thank you that you know everything about us. And sometimes, Lord, even when we're confused about our own life situation, you often say to us, be still and know that I'm God. Father, we just want to pray for one another today, Lord, as we continue to have the privilege of meeting as a church family. We do not take this for granted. There are churches in even this country that are not able to open yet. And so, Lord, we just lift up fellow Christians worldwide. One of the greatest things that affects so many is the isolation, because we need people. Your word says that we're not to neglect our assembling together. And it's for our good, not only as we have a chance to be with other Christians, but we have a chance to praise you and pray together. And so, Lord, we lift up our prayers to you as a group, as a family today. We thank you for each and every person in this room. We thank you for all the families that are represented by those here. And so, in intercession, we lift up our families to you. And in particular, Lord, we lift up the Clark family. And we ask, oh God, that your comfort and sustaining power would be realized in every member of that family. As Bruce and Donna pray and intercede for their families, that they are in belief that you are working powerfully in ways even they can't see or understand. And so, Lord, we take the same thing for our own families, for our children, for our siblings, for our parents, for our grandparents, for our grandchildren, for our nieces, for our nephews, and for our spouses, and for even our ex-spouses. Lord, all of these people need you and need a greater sense of who you are in their life. Father, we just pray for Shauna today, and we ask, oh God, that your power would flow through her body right now from the top of her head to the tips of her toes. May she indeed feel that healing presence of you in her life. And for Susan as well in her back, that she would be touched in powerful ways even this week. And Lord, all of us have concerns for people, and we also have these tremendous notes of praise. As Mark has mentioned, the things that we prayed about years ago, and we see now in hindsight what you've been doing and working, and in many ways your peace has been upon situations. And our lines, your Bible says, have fallen in pleasant places. So, Lord, we're just grateful, and we're thankful. And we again just give our requests to you today. There are many unspoken requests. Lord, you know everything that we're going through and every need that is needed, whether it's an infusion for Donna, whether it's a special touch, again, as you're working in Norm's eyes, a touch upon Jane this day, and others that are looking to you. And Father, we just have confidence that you're going to teach us more today from your word, and your power will be displayed in powerful ways in our lives. And so go before us in all that happens. Lord, may we remind ourselves that you're in charge, and in you we have the victory. And we thank you in your precious name. How much you miss somebody when they're not with you. And so, Becca, thank you for filling in for Mom. I'm feeling particularly nostalgic today because 39 years ago on November the 7th, 1982, was the first day I ever preached a sermon. So it's been 39 years. And I want to preach on my favorite topic again today, and that's just what we finished singing, Irmgard. Thank you. You couldn't pick a better song. Jesus. There's something about that name. Amen. So I want to start by issuing you the challenge that comes out of Matthew 11. Come unto me. And you'll know the scripture well, where Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So this week, as I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking, How is it that people came to Jesus in the past? I mean, how does the Bible describe what it means when he said to them, come to me? And so I made a quick list, and probably many of the other things from Scripture will come to mind, but I'm reminded of the times when Peter was in the midst of the boat, and he said, Lord, bid me to come to you, and then Peter did what? He stepped out of the boat and started walking on the water. And then I'm reminded of the woman with the issue of blood. She fought her way through a crowd of men to what? Come to Jesus to just touch his garment. I just need to touch his garment. I don't even need to have a conversation. I just want to come to him. And then what about the parents who brought all their young children? And the disciples are going, oh, you know, like, give the man a break. Way you go. And they wanted to come to Jesus that the children might be what? Blessed. Just, Rabbi, could we have a blessing for our children? And then there's men such as blind Bartimaeus, and I think we have that in Matthew, in Mark chapter 10, and we have the verses here, and Phil, if you'll put them up. And as they came to Jerusalem, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples in a great crowd, Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And then the next part, Phil, if you wouldn't mind. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then it goes on to say, many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. And that's the biblical way of saying shut up. Okay, just so you know, there's, shh, be quiet. Don't bother him. You're just so loud. You're so out of order. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up and took off in the other direction. No. He came to Jesus. He came running to Jesus. Now, did he know where he was going? No. Could he see where he was going? No. But he went stumbling and fumbling as fast as his legs could take him to come to Jesus for something more than he had at the present time. And then here's the story of the paralyzed man. This story blows me out of the water. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so there was no more room. So everybody, what? Came to him and met with him, and there was not even room at the door, and he was preaching the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men, and when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they'd made an opening, of course, the grass and the soil that's on the roofs of these houses of the day, they dug it through it, and then they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, sons, your sins are forgiven. And how did he come to Jesus? Four guys hoofed his bed and took him over. Couldn't get to the front door, so they got creative. They got up on the roof. They dug open the roof, and they lowered him down. Now, this makes a chandelier look kind of bland compared. I can't imagine a crowd of people, and all of a sudden, a bed's coming down out of the roof. Again, people went to amazing lengths to come to Jesus. And then you go on to things like the crowds followed him. They couldn't get enough of him. There was a rich man. He said, Lord, I will follow you anywhere. Lepers ran to Jesus. A tax collector climbed down from a tree and invited Jesus to his house for dinner. I know that Jesus already told him he was coming to his house for dinner, but he still came down and said, come on, I'm going to bring you to my house. Pharisees such as Nicodemus came to Jesus this night. A young boy with a lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish came near to be this near this extraordinary rabbi as he spoke to crowds of people. A young boy, come to Jesus. Fishermen jumped out of their boats. Now, I got an issue with Peter in this one score. Peter got so excited he jumped out of the boat, left his fish with the other guys, and ran over to see Jesus. Is that fair? No, not really. But the reality is Peter was so determined to come to Jesus, the fish didn't matter. And of course, the other disciples came hauling the nets, coming to Jesus. Every one of them came to Jesus. Now, last week we talked about looking away to Jesus. But now I want to talk to you about what does it mean to come unto him, come unto me. And I want to start with two scriptures. Jesus, this is what he says himself in John chapter 6, in verse 37. All that the Father gives me will what? Come to me. Jesus knocks. But then what happens? We open the door, he comes in, or we come to him, correct? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Whoever comes to me, I will what? Never cast out. Never cast out. And then he goes on in verse 44 of chapter 6. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So it's a plan that's eternal and huge. Jesus is asking us to come. Okay, so the question is, how do we come to Jesus today? That's the reality. How do you and I actually come to him in the midst of our life? Because he's not walking around Wasega Beach. At least I don't think he's been in town lately visually. But how do we come to Jesus? Think about that for a minute. Because when he told the people to come to him, was that just for that time period? Or is that for every Christian or every person who ever walks in the face of the earth? It's for everybody. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so here's what I think we need to understand. When Jesus says, come unto me, it literally means get near to him. Wherever he is. Now, you know what's fascinating? Is people that are non-Christians are willing to get near Satan faster than often Christians are willing to get near God. Christians, non-Christians will run and have a seance. Non-Christians always would be the ones to be first run up and get have their fortune told. I mean, my grandmother grew up in an era where everybody got together at least once a week, the ladies of the neighborhood, and they had a cup of tea together, and then they all read the tea leaves. Okay? I mean, I've had people tell me, you know, I just can't start the morning without reading my horoscope. It's amazing how the non-Christians know to go to something, they don't realize what they're going to, but how quickly do Christians come to Jesus? On a daily basis, moment by moment. And so the reality is that we're going to him because, number one, he understands us. Number two, he knows us. Number three, he walked on the face of the earth and he understands every temptation we go through, and yet he didn't sin. That's amazing. He also knows what you and I are going through yesterday, today, and he even knows what we're going to go through tomorrow. He's already into tomorrow ahead of us. And so when he says to us, come to me, what part of our lives do we bring to him? Let's just take there's a question. What part of our lives do we bring to the Lord when he says, come to me?
Everything.
Okay, well, let's just spell it out. Yeah, we'd say everything. Well, what about your brain?
Yep.
Do you bring your brain to God?
Yep.
And yet, how many times when you're thinking, I should go and I should pray. No, I should tell the Lord. No, I shouldn't. Maybe I'll try to work this out for me. How many times do we play pickup sticks with our brains instead of just going, I'm just going to go right now and just talk to the Lord? How many times do we think, I should talk to the Lord, but first I better phone a friend? Or, but first, you know what, if I could just have a grilled cheese sandwich with some tomato soup, that would help. Yes, it would help, but is that the first thing we should be doing? So we come to him with our brains. What else do we come to him with? Our bodies. Lord, there has to be something when we admit we're weary. I'm weary, I'm heavy laden, and I don't have a lot of answers, and I don't have the stamina to withstand all the things that are coming at me, so I'm coming to you because I need to be strengthened in my body. What did Elijah do after the Mount Carmel experience, and he ran for 20 miles, and then Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, buddy. He then went off and he moped and he said, oh, I'm going to lose my life, I'm going to lose my life. And the Lord, what? Put him to sleep and fed him over a two-week period. Didn't even talk to him. So when we come to the Lord, sometimes we just need to say, Lord, I'm just so weary. I'm so tired. I can't even think or talk. And the Lord goes, that's fine. Be at peace. I'm here with you in the room. Go to sleep. So we bring our bodies. We bring our brains. What else do we bring to him? Her guilt. Very good point. Who else takes away guilt? Nobody. Who adds false guilt? Dirty face. Dirty face. Satan. And so it becomes a spin. And so we bring to him, and I could say within that guilt, it's all our emotions, don't we? Lord, I'm really scared. I don't know. I've got to drive home now, and it's not a good night, and come unto me. I'm riding beside you in the car. I'll get you home. Okay, Lord. Help me to drive well. Help me to pay attention. You know, now that doesn't mean we don't put on our snow tires and we don't get good windshield wipers and we don't clean our headlights. I'm a big believer. Those three things are absolutely paramount. People complain about how terrible the trip was, and often I say to you, well, did you clean your headlights? And they go, what do you mean? I mean, there's something to do with logic, and then in that come to the Lord and say, okay, I've done everything I can do. Get me home. So we bring our will. We bring our emotions. We bring what else? What about our families? What about our neighbors? What about all the people we interact in the workplace? What about all the people in the retirement scenarios and the activities that we participate in? Mark and Leanne, for the last how many years that they've been running the cottage court, had to literally say, I'm bringing all these people, whoever even these people are, because I don't know who's going to show up this May 24th weekend. So I'm bringing it to you, because if I don't come to you, they're going to be so stressed out, they won't be able to sleep all weekend. Right? So part of it is saying, okay, I'm bringing everything, Lord, that's connected with where I am and who I am. Can we bring them our mouth? Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you. There's a few times I go, Lord, I should have brought my mouth to you a lot sooner, because I said a lot of things. And you know how many times we say this stuff, and can we bring it back?
Nope.
Gets fired out there. Flippant comment or a hurtful comment, and at the end of the day, can we bring it back? No. And then what about everything that we can't see? The stuff that's around us, can we say, Jesus, I don't know what's behind me. How many of you know what's behind you? Anybody? Anybody can see? You can see me? You know, they got these new glasses out, I noticed quite a while ago. They got little mirrors on the back. So when you're walking, you can see who's coming up behind you. That's really novel. But the reality is we're saying, Lord, I'm coming to you to give me rest because I don't know what's behind me. Like my buddy was telling me that one day he was in a situation and he found out that he was going to be fired that day. And who gave him the peace even before he got fired? The Lord did. And so we bring every aspect of our lives to him. Everything. Our mouths, our joys, our fears. And it's okay to say, Lord, I'm coming to you because I'm sick. Lord, I'm coming to you because I'm tired. Lord, I'm coming to you because I'm sick and tired. Or we say, Lord, I'm coming to you because I'm so full of joy. And isn't that what Sheila did this week? Lord, I'm coming to you just to say, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad to be pain-free. How many of you wake up in the morning and you feel parts of your body to see if they're going to start to hurt? How many of us lie in bed and go, okay, here we go. I'm waking up now. All right. How's my back? You know, how many times the things in our life we have no control over, our attitudes, you know, our perceptions, our expectations, all these things, Jesus saying, come unto me and bring what? Norm, say it again.
Everything.
Everything. And yet how often we struggle and we fuss and we fret and we fume, and the Lord's going, are you coming? Are we gonna have a talk? Oh no, Lord, just wait another hour, because Lord, you know, I really need to worry for at least another hour. I'm just working up into a real good mental hyperventilation right now. Just give me another hour, okay? Then I'll talk to you. But right now, how many of us do that? And when he says, come unto me, what does he mean? Come unto me when? Now. And sometimes if we haven't got that entrenched in our brain, we realize, oh, I haven't talked to the Lord for a while. Oh, I just let that whole situation escalate out of control instead of just coming to you and letting you work on it because you know how tired I am. Billy Graham, many of you remember Billy Graham. Billy Graham was an extraordinary evangelist. And we'll talk about him in just a minute. But what did he always ask the people to do? Come to the altar and, Jesus, I come. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But let's just look at one other thing in Scripture. Can you put up Philippians 4, verse 6? Thank you. Oh, what a great man you are. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. with thanksgiving, come to Jesus and let your request be made known to him. Is that what it means? So Jesus may not be walking with us. We may not be able to literally touch the hem of his garment, but what he's saying to us is take a moment and stop, and with prayer and praise and thanksgiving and supplication, just say, Jesus, here I am. It's just me. What's that little song? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And yet I can tell you, there have been so many Christians who have said to me over the years, you know, well, I just don't want to bother God because he's just so busy. He got so many people to look after. No, your issue is important. There was an 84-year-old lady in our church in Etobicoke, and she stood up one day. Her name was Mrs. Harriet. She put her hand up. She says, Pastor, she says, I have a sore big toe, and I'd like prayer. Well, it was like, you know, you could hear the ripple. I tell you, when that lady stood up the next Sunday and she didn't have any sore big toe anymore, a lot of people had to second guess their attitude from the last Sunday. Lord, I come. I bring you my sore big toe, whatever it takes. Now, here's a question. How little do the things have to be that we bring to the Lord? To only the big things? Lord, I've got cancer, so I come to you. I got chemotherapy this week. Like, how little do we go?
Everything means everything.
Thank you, Norm. So, here we go. I'm going to tell you a story. This Tuesday morning, I got up really early because I find, and I don't know how you operate with the Lord, but often he speaks to me early in the morning. And I woke up, and I was so excited. I jumped out of bed. Now, you know, when it's that early, you got to jump out of bed quietly. You know what I'm saying? Jumped out of bed quietly. Beck had gone to Waterloo. She was down in the university. So I ran into the office that we share. She has her bedroom, and we have a little desk there. And I kind of opened the blind, and I started to put my pen to the paper, and I thought, man, am I cold? I thought, oh, I'm going to go get my sweatshirt. And I keep a sweatshirt a certain part of the condo, so when I get up early in the morning, I can go get that, put it on, and start working. Now, I get out into the living room, dining room area, to the spot where I always leave my sweatshirt, and it's not there. So the first question is, who moved it? You know, that's always the first question. But it's too early in the morning to have that discussion. So I go, oh, I can't find my sweatshirt. And I was cold. I wanted to write. I had my pen in my hand. So I looked over and I saw a blanket on the chair. I thought, okay, I'll grab the blanket. So I wrapped the blanket around me and I went into the desk and I sat down and I started writing. On Saturday, I'd said to Jane, I feel I need to do a puzzle. I just need to do something different and give my brain a rest. So she and Becca were out at Walmart and they bought me a puzzle. 1,000-piece puzzle. I was in my glory. We brought a table in from outside, put it by the door. I started doing this puzzle. Becca helped me a bit on Sunday afternoon and Saturday. Anyway, so Sunday night, I'm doing the pieces. Monday morning, I'm doing the pieces. I'm finishing up some point late Monday, and I look, and I see there's about 20 pieces left, and they're all green grass, and I'm missing a piece of the biplane that's got the yellow struts. I go, I don't believe it. Here I am at the end of a 1,000-piece puzzle, and I can't find a piece. So Becca was good enough. We pulled the condo apart. We lifted furniture, moved chairs. I mean, we couldn't find that piece. And I don't know how you are, but isn't it awful when you get down to the end of a puzzle and you got one stinking piece missing? Well, I was a bit frustrated, but I said, okay, well. Now, I don't remember how I prayed. Do you ever pray and say, Lord, please help me find the piece? It's like the woman who lost the coin. She looks and looks and looks, and then she rejoices. Well, there wasn't too much rejoicing. I put the thing back in the bag, and I thought, good night, the first time I do it, we've lost a piece. Becca says, maybe we vacuumed it. Maybe we dusted it. And, you know, we don't have a dog, so he didn't eat it. But, you know, you just go. And you know how your brain goes, I don't know where the piece of puzzle is. I don't have a dog. Anyway, so Monday night, I go to bed. And the next morning, as I said, I get up early. I'm all excited, and I'm just here, and I'm writing away, and I look at my concordance, and right, I turn my head back, and there in the middle of my desk is the piece of the puzzle. right on the middle of the desk. Do you see it? Do you see what I'm saying? It was right here. Do you see it? Right there. Now, I don't know if you are ever left breathless. The first time I saw Jane, or when I saw Jane coming down the aisle for our wedding, I was breathless. This is a different kind of breathless. I literally couldn't breathe because I saw this piece of puzzle there and I go, I even looked up at the ceiling. Did it drop down from the sky? I didn't. So then I thought, okay, let me think now. How? And you can see the blanket is on the back of the chair. And so what I think happened is somehow the piece of the puzzle got connected to the blanket that was on the chair. And then when I went to do the sermon and I took the blanket and wrapped it around me, after about 25 minutes, however I was moving the blanket, the piece of puzzle fell out right beside my sermon notes. So after I finally caught my breath, I thought, okay, and as you can see, it was starting to get brighter, so I finished up my sermon, and then I took the blanket back, and I put it back on the chair, and you know what was sitting right under the blanket was my sweatshirt. So my question is, did God have somebody put the sweatshirt on the chair, and later the blanket went on top that had the piece of the puzzle? Because, you know, here's the puzzle, okay? There's the puzzle I was doing. You see it, okay? Here was what I was doing, and that was the piece right there that was missing, right there, okay? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you a rest. You know, as soon as I saw that piece of puzzle, I just had an incredible sigh of relief. Not over the piece of the puzzle, per se, but the fact that God knows our lives so intimately. He says, son, I'm even going to get this piece of the puzzle to you. And I wouldn't have found it in the natural. And the interesting thing is, I think our whole lives are a miracle. We'd say, well, isn't that a miracle? No, everything's a miracle. And so when I'm saying to you, when you want to come to Jesus, how little does a thing have to be? As small as a puzzle piece. Because when you come to him, you're always going to get what? An answer that will be for our good. And so as I conclude this morning, and I want to tie this in with what I said earlier about Billy Graham. When Billy Graham used to give his altar calls, he always ended with one song. Do you remember what it is? Just as I am. So I want to just show you three verses quickly as we wrap up. Because God is trying to show us as a high priest over us that we can come into Jesus' presence. So, Phil, let's take a look at the verses that I want to show on the screen about just as I am. Could we do that, please? Look at the words where Jesus, the songwriter, is talking about Jesus. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me, what? Come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, or I need healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee I find, O Lamb of God, what? I come. So family, I want to challenge you this morning because this has profoundly moved me this week. This piece of this puzzle has absolutely reminded me that our King is working in every aspect of our life. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you feel you need to come to him again today, you've been wrestling with things or you're feeling overwhelmed with life, you're feeling you're tired or you're laboring, we can't have you all come up to the altar. But what I'm going to ask you to do is stand, because you're making a symbol. I'm coming back to you, Jesus, today. You don't have to be a big sinner. You don't have to be a terrible person. But it may be, Lord, I'm confused. I'm overwhelmed. I've been doing things on my own. I'm exhausted. And I just need to come to you today. So I'm going to ask Donna just to play quietly for a moment. And then I want us all to just take a moment in prayer. And as you feel led, just stand, because we want to pray for you in this moment. So, Father, I just thank you for the fact that your Son is always in your word so crystal clear. When he said, "Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And so, Father, there are people now standing in this auditorium who symbolically are saying, "Jesus, I'm coming to you today. I'm coming to you for all the reasons you already know about. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would work in marvelous ways, in powerful ways. Lord, lift my faith in the midst of all that I'm going through. And so I come to you today, just as I am. Just as I am. And so, Lord, my prayer is that you would bless each and every person who's standing in this room right now, that they would sense your presence, and that you would bless them. And we thank you for what you're going to be doing in the future. And now I'm going to ask you all to stand. Tonga, I'm going to ask you to come, and we're going to conclude our service with the heart of worship. And I'm going to ask Tonga to lead us in that, please. Thank you, Don.
We head into a new week.
It's all about you. Our lives are held in the palm of your hand. You will guard our going out and our coming in from this day and forevermore. And so, Lord, we take your word literally, that you would bless us and that you would keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you lift up the light of your countenance upon us and give us your peace as we come to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And thank you, Jesus, our Savior. Bless the Lord.